Questions, sì, la madam, o tu hai già un sì, la più. Do you have a tank on?
Maybe it'll be better if we just all sit in meditation for a while.
Look at that, the dinner needed. Experience join that chat with you.
If somebody brings up something, some experience, then he can like expand on that.
He
says, why do you think is the main reason that you forget so often?
Well, my situation with packing and moving is making it especially difficult because
it took me a busy thing on it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm even more.
Yogi, all the time.
He says all the yogis at the center too are like that. When they have to leave, they start losing more mindfulness.
He
says, and the reason we forget, he says, is not so much because of the packing, it's our habit. You know, when we get eager to do something, we lose more mindfulness. So it's not the packing, it's because we're in a hurry to do those things.
Mm.
He says that's one of the main reasons we're not able to practice in daily life.
It is the hurrying. That's
yes.
Because
yes.
we want to do it. We want to finish it. You know, that kind of feeling. So if we want to practice on a daily basis, he says, we have to really keep a watch on the mind. How is it possible to live as though you were in a retreat setting all our lives? We can't live like we do things in retreat. He says, how long have you been in retreat anyway? How long do we spend time in retreat anyway?
Most of us not too long,
not
a few weeks here.
Think much out of world.
Daily life, ma, the daily tamari bolo thay am.
So he says, so how do we learn how to maintain our awareness and samadhi, stability of mind in daily life?
Well, what comes to mind is that I hope I'll be able to find a job that's more conducive to it, for one thing, a job where I'm not under so much pressure. I hope, but also just practicing, again.
Yeah, that's there's too much pressure, it's difficult, he says. Not to kuwa lijimbo. Taka 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 lijimbo.
Yes.
Now
skill pima do skill pima to attain it. Skill so
and learning
Bajang Sika Lushare Ba Sika Balu Balu Sendaru Balu Sika Blu Lushare Ayo Dwan Bo. So
that's how. Yeah, he said learning from those times that we're trying to practice all the time, investigating what makes the mind agitated, what makes the mind, you know, loses mindfulness, why does the mind become eager, and learning from that, you know, whether it's necessary or not, whether we can learn to not let those minds take over.
With you here as a reminder, on my days off, it's much easier to have longer periods of awareness. But that feels like it's because I can move very slowly, or I'm not concerned with time, the illusion of time, or there's no pressure or stress. I'm wondering how possible he would feel it would be for someone to have work that involves time, like cooking, time and moving fast, and how possible that is to keep that sense of awareness as one would have when one is not concerned with time.
Possibility. He says for people, you know, who are in time pressure jobs and all that, he says just do as much as you can. Like whatever becomes possible, just take that. Appreciate that.
I have to go sign you better.
He says, so do it experimentally, like I'm cooking and I'm wondering how do I feel as I cook, and see how much you can notice that as you cook at the same time. That means you're not separately watching yourself or cooking, you're doing it at the same time. You're not taking time away from your cooking. Like you don't watch yourself separately. Like as you cook, you want to see what sort of mind state you bring to the cooking while you're cooking it.
Yum, love it.
Can you try that? Will you try that?
Yes,
let's see.
He said, try to do that like often, as much as you can. If you focus, he said, if you try to see this feeling clearly, or you know, if you try to focus on yourself, he says you won't be able to do it. You have to sort of do it loosely.
Kind of the big picture.
He says if you're watching yourself too much, you'll find it difficult to cook. You won't know how to cook anymore. But if you pay too much attention to the pot, then you won't notice what mindset you're bringing to it.
I never balance blue shot.
How to find this balance?
So
that's the fun.
Okay.
I work in the office and we're often talking on the phone or talking to people coming in, and it's very hard for me to stay mindful when I'm talking, and I wonder what instructions you give for talking. Sometimes I'm aware right after the fact of something that I said that maybe didn't feel skillful, or I wish I would have said it in a different way, but in the moment it's often hard.
Mm. says that requires lots and lots of practice. So that it becomes a habit to be mindful.
Hello, phone line, be on it over. The Tija will use it. Good thing I'm saying, but you're saying, be on it. You tell me about it.
He says, so when you, while you are talking on the phone, or when someone comes, you know, to you through the door or something, he says, you want to remember. That's the thing, you want to remember. What am I feeling now? With, you know, what am I projecting onto the person? The person's walking towards me. He says, if we make it a habit, not just in the office, but all the time during the day, to notice what we feel or how we react every time we see someone, whether it's a happy reaction, neutral, or whatever, to, you know, recognize what reaction came when we, you know, every time we see someone, he says, then that will become a habit. And then when you're in the office, it will just sort of do the same thing.
Okay, phone me, Balo.
He said, okay, so the phone rings. What
no,
do
no,
you
no,
do?
Now practice logo, no?
This is to practice with, yeah? So
phone,
the phone rings, what do you do?
Phone the neighbor,
and how many times does the phone ring every day? Once, in a day?
Yeah.
Oh, several times. Many hours, sometimes? It depends on the day.
Yeah.
It rings several times.
Hello, Janine, Janine. Who's saying that?
Lola, he says, and every time you hear the phone, how does the mind feel first off? Does it feel like I have to get the phone quickly?
Yes.
Tension rising? To recognize that, to notice that.
I find that it's helpful to have, I don't know if I would call it intermediate step, but whether it's the cooking example or the phone example or speaking with someone, that my connection with being aware of the mind is through the body. That if I can feel my feet on the ground when I'm speaking to someone, I'm much more likely to be aware of what I'm projecting onto them than if I'm not in touch with my body.
Mm.
I'm just wondering what Saidaw has to say about the place of awareness of the body in relation to awareness of the mind.
Recognize,
he says, well, yeah, anything that works for you, whatever that will help you to become conscious of yourself. But what is the most important step, he says, is the to be conscious, remembering to be conscious, whether it's on the body or the mind. He says, if we remember to be conscious and the consciousness is present, he says, then that consciousness will pick up everything if it's turned to ourselves. He says, when he started practicing in daily life, he says, he started by watching his body. And then, like, he would walk to work. And then he'd watch his, you know, the movement of his feet. And in one or two steps, he would have forgotten himself. He said, then he started investigating. Why am I forgetting, you know, to be aware? And then he noticed because he was in a hurry, he was eager to get to work. And so he stopped watching his feet and started watching whether the mind was getting eager or not. And you see how the investigation is important. Like, what should he do? How should he do it? And then, as you know, once he was watching to see if the mind was getting eager, if the mind was calm, he noticed the mind was already being more aware of it. He says, how interested are we in this practice? That makes a big difference. He says, our value has to be with the practice. And he says, the more we understand the value of the practice, he says, the more we want to practice then. That's why you often ask yogis, you know, ask themselves, what benefit have they received from doing the practice? And they need to have their own answers. mean struggle ရှိတယ်လေကိုကအားထုတ်ကောင်းတယ်လို့လဲဟိုဘယ်လိုပြောယူဆတယ်ဒါပေမဲ့တကယ်လုံးတာကြတော့သူထင်သလောက်အတွင်းမှာမလုပ်ဘူးအဲ့လိုမျိုးဖြစ်တယ်လေအဲ့ဒ
ါသဘောပေါက်လားအားနဲ့လို့
This is because that realization
သဘောပေါက်တာနဲ့ဒီပြင်းတာနဲ့တကယ်ဒီတာနဲ့အားချင်းမတူဘူ
း He says there is a defilement there is some wisdom The defilement is laziness the wisdom is understanding how beneficial it is and he says it's a battle between the wisdom and the defilement and the wisdom is not as strong as the defilement yet
ဒီများရင်းနိုင်မမီးများမီးနိုင
် He says when there's more water you can put out the fire when there's a lot of fire you need to grow the water
ဟောလုံးကောင်းမှတော့တိတယ် तू တိတာ defilement ကိုမကြော်နိုင်ဘူးဖြစ်တယ် defilement တိတဲ့ပုံအားရှိတယ်
Yeah he says so we understand that the practice is beneficial has been beneficial but the amount we understand is still not enough
ကဲဒါမျိုးကြတော့နည်းနည်းစိတ်ညစ်ပူးတဲ့လူတွေစိတ်ရှုပ်ပူးတဲ့လူတွေကြတော့ဟိုတိစိတ်ကအေးစိတ်တရှိတဲ့လူတိတ်မခံစားပါဘူး
He says this sort of thing works better for people who have some struggle who have some suffering who are having difficulty and there is motivation to keep at it He says when we're in a lull things are going well He says then you know we just don't have that need to go at it
anxiety နဲ့တတိထားတယ်ညံနဲ့မဟုတ်တော့ဘူ
း He says but this is
ဘာလို့ပြန်မလာတော့
He says the time is it because the motivation for that consciousness for that extreme consciousness is anxiety and not wisdom So it's like fear motivated consciousness
အဲ့ anxiety တွေကိုဟို तू ကတတိထားတဲ့အချိန်မှာကြည့်ပေါ့ तू က over ဖြစ်နေလို့
He says so when you're being conscious he says notice how conscious you're trying to be
အဲ့ဘာလဲဆိုတော့ तू ကဟိုမတည့်တဲ့အခါဖြစ်တဲ့အခါခံရတဲ့အခါကျတော့ तू က reaction အားကြီးတယ်အဲ့တော့မခံခြင်းတော့ तू ကတတိထားတာပို့ပြီးတော့ over ဖြစ်သွားတယ် reaction ပဲအဲ့ဒါလေ
Yeah he says that the reason is because I mean you've suffered before from eating the wrong thing and the mind is very well aware of how much it suffers it doesn't want to suffer anymore so it's trying very hard not to go there anymore and he said because of that it's over trying
အဲ့အချိန်နည်းတစ်ခုလုံးလေးလား
he says so
suffering ဖြစ်တဲ့အချိန်မှာရောနောက်တစ်ခါတတိထားတဲ့အချိန်မှာ
so he says so notice both states he says when you're suffering
မှပါပါဖြစ်တယ်ခံဖို့
if something goes wrong and you're suffering and when you're trying too hard to not suffer and he says when you suffer he said so how bad is it I mean okay it's done now so okay just
အချိန်မှာလည်းတတိဉာဏ်ရှိရမယ
် so even while suffering or being conscious there has to be awareness with wisdom
အဲ့အချိန်နဲ့တစ်ခုလုံးရေးကြည့်တယ
် Both states are important
။ဒါမှဖြစ်ချင်တော့နောက်တစ်ခါအဲ့ဒီစားတော့မယ်ဆိုမစားခင်နဲ့သူကတတိထားတော့အဲ့ချိန်မှာလဲဟာစိတ်နဲ့တတိထား
He says so the mind doesn't want to go through that again so it's becoming very conscious he says but even as you try to be conscious he says then check what? That mind because what state of mind are you trying to be conscious how conscious are you
Okay.
Buddha said that insight is born of concentration of samadhi, and you say that in your booklet. And many teachers recommend bringing the awareness tight and focused on just one object with very small sensation or something for aiming and sustaining it there. And I think my sense is from reading your book that you disagree. Or could you speak to that, please?
ပြောထားတယ်တမာတိ He's spoken about the difference between samadhi is stability of mind. That's the definition of samadhi, is stability of mind. He doesn't use the word concentration. And there's a difference between samadhi that you develop from a samatha kind of meditation. You know samatha meditation. It's a tranquility meditation. A meditation that's geared to developing concentration only. And then there is samadhi that comes from a vipassana kind of practice.
He
says, so in a samatha kind of practice, so in a samatha kind of practice, he says, below.
Tamatha tamadhi ya lo vipadana ku chin ne so di tamadhi myu ne mya vipadana tamadhi pe la myan pa la
a lo tu tamatha tamadhi ya belo myu
le de pyo ne pyo pyo a yin de khu de sai bi ya de tamadhi myu su sai lo ya de tamadhi ya tamatha tamadhi vipadana tamadhi ya tu a right attitude shi lo a yu sa man lo tu a reaction ma shi ba ne ngain ni da
so he says a samatha kind of samadhi is developed when you develop concentration by focusing on one object only and building the focusing power of the mind, the concentration of the mind. That's a samatha kind of samadhi. If you want to practice vipassana, he says you have to practice, you have to change the practice so that the kind of samadhi that develops is a vipassana kind of samadhi. And that samadhi, he said, that stability of mind comes because the mind has some knowledge that helps the mind to understand that everything is just okay as it is. And because the mind has this understanding, whether it's theoretical or because your rational mind understands or because you've had some insight before, when the mind has that sort of understanding, it has no reaction because it understands that things are as they are. And when there's this sort of non-reaction, no aversion, no attachment to what's happening, he says, that's the kind of samadhi that comes from vipassana. He says, in the Satipatthana Sutta, it's broken up into some parts, and only in the section where they talk about anapana, where they talk about the breath, you're told to observe one object only. When you go into the other sections on other kinds of mindfulness, he says, then none of it tells the person to focus on one object only anymore. He says, in a samatha style practice where you focus on only one object and develop concentration, he said it helps to subdue the defilements for a while. It sort of covers it up for a while, but only for a while. And it, no wisdom arises to help you deal with it at a fundamental.
And
you know, in samatha practice, we focus on one object only to develop what they call one-pointed concentration. But he says, we get the wrong idea that concentration can only be developed if we pay attention to one object only. In fact, he says, samadhi, stability of mind, develops not because of paying attention to one object only. Samadhi develops because of right attitude and continuity. So when there's continuous awareness, and right attitude means there is no greed, aversion, or delusion in the mind, then samadhi develops.
Now, samadhi is maya.
There is what we call right concentration. It's called samasamadhi. So he asked this question, have you gone fishing?
Yes.
Do you feel concentrated when you go fishing? Do you feel very calm, stable, and so on?
Yes.
Samadhi, ayun object ma ayun sai samadhi lo phit le man la ma la pyo lo mya.
Oh,
man chin ma man, no? Naw ka motivation a kilita phin la dia tamat-tamat di jolumnya.
So he says, concentrating on one object or activity may bring concentration, but whether it's right or wrong concentration is still not established yet. He says, if it's the wrong object, you cannot say the right samadhi has developed.
Mm. Now, tamatha tamadhi ayong ba ma cha cha ne chin ne. No? Tu ai ma lobha pa au pa, phit chin na lobha si ko chi.
And he says, in a samatha style practice, which is paying attention to one object only, he says there is a desire for the mind to be able to stay on that object for as long as possible. And he says, greed is definitely present there because there is a desire to keep the mind on that object.
Ajang, ai tamatha tamadhi ya nyam ma paw.
That's why he says, in that sort of samadhi, wisdom doesn't arise.
အဲ့တော့တမထတမာတိကိုမန်တဲ့တမာတိလို့ပြောသူကောင်းတဲ့တမာတိလို့ပြော
So in samatha samadhi he says we may call it good concentration but it's not called right concentration
So even if the mind is very busy from daily life you don't ever recommend people do samatha practice
Erosika o alone ne show ne be me buduma u sia tamatha lo a ma thau khai mu la de tamatha lo ma thau khai
a chi ni bon mu di bi tu ai lu ga o chi bi thau na
yeah he says well it really depends on the situation and the person it's not that you can't use it
ai lu a nyan a kaung yin ne a thau khai ba
if the person is intelligent then he just ask them to use some wisdom
nyan a ne lo shin lo
If someone is good at effort, like, you know, using energy, then he will tell them to use their ability to make effort in a skillful way.
What if he's not very intelligent?
Yeah, but he says you have to test the person. Try them out.
ဖျားတကယ်ဘလူးဒီရိုက်နဲ့ကိုက်အောင်ပေးနိုင်တယ်ဖျားဒါကြောင့်ဖျားမှာဒီ quality ရှိတယ်လူတိုင်းမှာမရှိဘူးအဲ
He says but you know to be able to like recommend the perfect thing for the person is I mean he can't do that he said that's like only the Buddha has that title you know that
ဦးဇင်းကြတော့ light while searching fire လို့
Yeah he's like have you heard of searching fire It's like searching fire
ဘလူးလောက်ကြည့်ဒီလောက်ကြည့်
You know, it's like when you want, if you know that enemies are like hiding in the trees on the other side and you want to see where, then you just shoot. And then you shoot everything and then you know where they are. Maybe they shoot back or they yell or something. So that's what he does. He doesn't really know where it is or what it is. So he tries to talk to the yogis a lot. And then the more he talks to them, the more he knows where they're coming from. Position he is in to maybe help.
Using the Seattle Dilu,
yeah, his teacher was like that too. He would try all sorts of things on him. He didn't give him just one instruction. It would change your.
Yeah, lo, using instruction be like that. Tu lo, bah interview lo la ka bah pian pyo. Pyo le thema tu idea lo tu phi phi chin using chi chi lo tu ne kai la lo.
Yeah, this is. I mean, he might give an instruction, and then the next time, you know, after the yogis try practicing. While they might come back and tell him, they give him their feedback, like this did this and that and what happened. And then he'll see, you know, maybe that doesn't work or this works. And then he'll try and adjust his instructions.
I mean, she didn't lose out on your right attitude and art of hanging. The world to send that thing in. Yeah, look, look, look.
For some people, just talking about right attitude, and you know, they sort of know how to.
Idea of the world part.
Yeah, when they understand that idea, they know how to adjust their minds and sort of work from that angle. If someone is not able to like work with that or something, then he starts them from if that's too confusing, But he says if you want to practice not only on a daily basis but on a habitual, like you want a practice that is continuous, like you want to grow or practice. He says because you need time for samatha, you know, some particular thing. But if you're willing to take anything that you experience as like full
can not have your kid.
General instructions are hard to give.
I have a question, it's a little vague, just about discerning between doubt that's a hindrance and doubt that's a skillful pointer, like in assessing if there's right view or, I don't know.
To make one and then machine would have to be Tania. Bellumiuma Taniaga, the Catlia, Yanga Tania Shida, the Catlia, Kilita Tania Pida, a tapia, but look quite
the Usu Larabo. Yanga Tania, the Pusumane.
He says, if
Pusiman Dane, who are Pusiman, Yanga Pusiman, Kilita Shula. Say Nila.
If the doubt is a hindrance, an unskillful one, he said it just causes more confusion, more agitation, less answers, and just like, you know, you just feel less and less comfortable. But if it's a doubt that is skillful, he says, then the mind just feels curious and investigative. And he would not even call that doubt anymore. He said, then there's a sense of adventure. Like, I don't know, let's find out. It's very important that, you know, we have to be always practicing and actually trying to.
What? What should we do?
No, okay, I'll ask my question, but I'm just
there's some tissues over there.
Yeah, no, I have some tissues. I'm aware that one of the reasons why I like doing retreats is because the rest of my life does not impinge. And what happens when I do his technique, for instance, on my days off, I can get into a very spacious, timeless kind of place.
Yeah.
But I feel a lot of fear in the background that wants to impinge because, and what it's saying is, you can't spend so much time in this place because you've got things you've got to do. You know, you've got work to do or things that need to be addressed or bills to pay or whatever. And so it's, I feel like I can artificially put myself in that space. But then I have to come out of it in order to take care of my life, you know, and be in the top, be in time again. He says, you know, so you've separated formal practice and informal practice. He says, so the kind of practice you're doing on your off days, even using his technique, is still formal practice. You're taking time away from what you usually do to practice. He says, but we can't do formal practice all our lives because there are things that need to be done. That can only be done with informal practice. You mean just being aware that you're paying your bills?
Yes, to be aware, conscious of yourself in every facet of your, in every activity of your life. And he says, and what is that fear about?
I'm aware of how pleasant it is to be in timeless spaciousness.
I
want to stay there all the time. I don't want to come back to this other thing.
He says, but that's aversion. So he says, the problem is not that timeless spaciousness, and the problem is not the daily life work that you have to do. The problems are greed and aversion. He says, so there is an attachment to the priest, and the attachment is a problem. Yeah, he says there's a lot of this amongst, and this can lead to depression because there's such an aversion to normal life. He says he came across this. As he was trying to practice in daily life, in wanting to maintain his peace, he moved away from people more and more and more because he thought that's what he needed to maintain his peace. He became really lonely and
depressed.
He was practicing because of depression. So he says, it's very important to watch out for attachment. If we get attached to whatever side effects of meditation, he says it's very dangerous.
He
says, and when he started investigating his mind to see why he had got himself into that corner, he started seeing that the thought pattern that had got himself there was something like this. I'm a meditator. I don't want to mix with these people. And weddings are superficial, and all these community events are rubbish and all this. And I'm a meditator, so I'm not doing that. And I'm not doing this. And keeping away from all that sort of he held himself in a corner. When he realized this, he realized it was aversion. It's not because he was a meditator. It was because he didn't like all that. And when he realized that, he said he just started going for those things. He went and sat in weddings and was mindful. He went for community events, he was mindful. He went for dinners and he was mindful, And then at that time he remembered what his teacher had taught him. His teacher had always said, the object is not the problem. What you have to deal with is the defilement inside. And then he realized those events and people that he had to meet were just objects. He didn't have to avoid them. He needed to deal with the defilement. So he started going, meeting these people, going to these events, and watching his mind, watching what was happening in the mind. Anybody here done drugs before? He says, liking that feeling, like liking the trip, and liking peace of mind. He said, what's the difference? Peace of mind from meditation and liking that trip. What's the difference? No difference.
Liking and do it.
No, liking is the same. Still a trip.
He said
it doesn't come cheap though. There's a price to pay for liking, for attachment. It's painful, isn't it? Yeah. He says, so it's always good. I mean, greed will always give us dukkha, will give us trouble.
And a peaceful night, I hear you.
So it's not important to be peaceful, he says. And if it's not peaceful, that's okay too. That's why he says we always have to come back to the objective of meditation. Why are we meditating? Because we want to understand what is really happening,
hasn't it? Yeah,
he says we talk about, you know, getting peace. He says, but peace has many aspects to it. He says, when you're really wise, it brings peace. That's true. But he says, liking peace is a different thing altogether. He says, a vipassana. Peace that we are thinking of in vipassana is, you know, because of wisdom. And wisdom means that you don't feel averse to what's happening, and you're not liking what's happening. Therefore, you are at peace. But what's happening may be chaos, but you don't have aversion towards it, and you don't have attachment to it, and so there is peace. He says so. So we develop samadhi, the mind becomes stable. But does that necessarily bring peace? Does that bring wisdom? We get peace, the mind becomes stable, but he says instead of getting wisdom, we develop aversion to other things. That's why he says, even samadhi needs to be sama samadhi, right? So he says we can practice, you know, developing samadhi. You can practice something and it helps the mind to calm down, cool down, and so on. But once it's there, he says you have to move towards becoming wise, to use it wisely.
So does this wisdom develop to such a degree that the defilements don't arise, or does the wisdom develop to such a degree that the defilements aren't bothersome?
Yeah. He says both kinds are possible. He says when any wisdom is very strong, he says at that time defilement can't arise. But when a defilement does arise and the mind has equanimity towards it, understands it for what it is, that's also wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
It's not bothered by it. So he says, when you are trying to meditate, he says you need to keep checking to see whether attachment is developing.
And opposite, Sanjay.
Or the opposite, whether aversion towards the opposite is developing. And when you're feeling the aversion to the opposite things, he says you need to be watching that too, examining that, learning about why.
He says
when you can feel equanimous to both, equanimous to doing your daily things, equanimous to the peace that develop, to the peace that you get when you formally meditate, then he says you can move ahead from there.
I'm a freedom. Dharma to get freedom.
He says that's real freedom. To be equanimous.
I'm a freedom. Now
the mind is not free. It's trapped. It feels it wants to be like this. It doesn't want to be like that.
Freedom.
Then it's not free. Yes, when some wisdom really arises, he says the mind feels equanimity to both situations.
And you go cut that chain in my dick, you show me that chain, my good three tamarin, you know, Pion, Ninam is only the girl who would chain up Lululi.
And he says, you know, the real challenge is maintaining awareness, samadhi, and wisdom in a difficult situation while you're paying your bills, cooking the meals, and so on. Being able to maintain your equanimity and wisdom in those situations. He says, if you are able to do that, then he says the other kind of peace is easy. Because you have peace here. Then you feel more confident. He says, and you gain confidence not only in yourself, you gain confidence in the Dhamma too. He says when he was, you know, working in lay life and trying to practice, he says his Dhamma hall was the wedding halls, the dining tables. He said the Chinese are always very busy planning things, wedding dinners. He said, and his father would, you know, and when you're invited, you know, somebody, at least a representative from the family, has to go. And his father was always telling him to go, and he would get so mad. He was like, here I am, I'm a meditator, I want to maintain my peace of mind, I don't want to go there. You know, and he was having all this aversion to these things. And then when he finally realized that, he started going to these things, he started going and practicing in those places. And over time, when he became able in those places to maintain his awareness, to stay equanimous, you know, and develop wisdom too, he said then he began to become really confident about his own practice. And then he said it started going up from there.
I know, mommy did it. I'm adding a right attitude.
He said actually the key ingredient is right attitude. That's why he became able to practice in those places.
Yeah, he says
sitting in the wedding, in the wedding hall in Burma, they have a live band playing, and it's really noisy. And he would sit there, and he would just listen to the music. And he would pick up, you know, he would start doing things. He would see whether the mind would focus on just this instrument or that instrument. So he used it as an exercise for, and even that was almost a somewhat kind of practice. Because he would pick out each sound and keep himself.
My lead to lead, bass to bass. And
he would notice how if he just paid attention to one, the rest would fade into the background.
Then
he would try
another one.
So that's keeping his mind, you know, applying his mind to meditation in some way. And then he'd come home and his samadhi would be intact.
Because
he didn't think this is very noisy. How am I going to meditate? Because everything was an object. He was learning how to not develop a defilement because of any object.
So what's the advantage then of being a monk?
Pony kida ba 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 ba
ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba ba.
At that time, he wanted to, like, go deeper into the practice, know things more deeply, and that's why he became a monk.
Because there's no working, so there's more time to.
Aloma shilo po che shile
alomio. Oh, the cha malu owa ni, the cha kisa ni malu owa di lo po lo lo ya.
Well, he says that it just gave him time to concentrate on this work, but it was work nevertheless.
I think he ended up having more work.
He's mentioned. Yes, as a monk, he actually finds he has more work than when he was sitting in a shop doing business.
You know, me that too, yeah. Go, but when you're genuinely, Akuma, genuinely.
He says when he was working, his social circle was very narrow. It was just his customers and his family. But when he became a monk and became a teacher,
the whole world.
He says all these crazy people from all the world. sometimes in the meditation center, he feels like he's in a, in a mental institution. And then he says that includes him. He's like, how are you saying it?
A blue name.
He says, so how shall we live?
Do you recommend people ordain?
That's something that people have to think out of themselves. He tried to be a monk 6 times in his life. He says, only be a monk when the practice is really good.
Understanding the getting.
He says if there's true understanding, he says the Dhamma will decide for you. You don't decide. He says every time he tried to be a monk himself, like I will go and be a monk, he didn't succeed, he got bored and disrobed. When he really understood, he said that it wasn't hard
anymore.
Really, to be a monk is not like the most important thing. The most important thing is to have wisdom.
What? Which one?
Do you want to be a monk?
I don't know.
What do you? Since you can try it out. In Burma, you can do things temporarily. Temporary monk.
Unless be honest.
I don't know if you'll notice a couple of guys who came in the beginning when he was here. And one of them had been a monk. Well, both of them had been monks before, but one of them was a monk for more than a year. And he actually didn't want to disrobe, but he disrobed. And now he says he's hearing sounds from him. Monk's life and lay life very different. When he decided to disrobe, it was really because he didn't want to scare his father off the spiritual path to see him in these bed sheets kind of thing. But to disrobe, you have to, go in front of a monk, and you have to tell the monk that you have, and you have to, you have to speak your intention, and you have an intention to disrobe. And he had a lot of difficulty with this. He sat there, and he could not, because he didn't want to disrobe, And then, so finally, he was like, help. And the teacher said to him, but the reason why you want to disrobe for now. And that helped him to make the decision. Then he said, right, so he could make the intention.
And
he says to be a monk in the West is very difficult. So it's not important to be a monk. But it's important to practice all the time. Whether you're a monk or a lay person, he says it's important to practice all the time.
I don't find it so easy. I wish I did. And there's something about effort or energy. He says, so there's this question. He says, why is it difficult for us to practice? And he says, think of the time when we first began practice. Yeah? And he says, when we first began practice, doing the practice was a bit difficult at first. And then when we start the practice,
Amato yintadano.
Yeah, when we start the practice, he says, when we don't try to be mindful, we find it, oh, it's so relaxing. And trying to practice is difficult.
Mm.
But he says, once practice gains momentum, and then you start finding practice easy within the retreat, he says, then you find that when you're mindful, it feels so relaxed.
Mm.
And then when there's no mindfulness,
you can actually see
the tensions and the restlessness of the mind's quality changes when there's not this. What's the difference between these two states of mind?
Asama, definement gak sih yang kau nih. Di quality, tadi temarinya quality dia makan, no? Eh, jom dua. Moha, moha akau nih, moha, dua moha, moha nih dua kanza nih. Kanza. Wah, oh, cuma tadi nih tak lah, temarin tak lah, dua tadi nih kau lah nak kerja. Ah, moha, moha, moha pemandu kita.
He says in the beginning of the practice, the we haven't really got into the practice. The defilements are strong. The qualities of awareness, samadhi, and wisdom are weak.
Mm.
He said, so what is enjoying that state of defilement is delusion. Delusion likes to be in its normal state. So when delusion is strong, delusion likes its own state. It thinks that this is more relaxing. He says, and when the practice gains momentum, he said, actually both awareness and wisdom grow. Both awareness and wisdom grow, and when we're in that state and that has a momentum, then the defilements are weaker, then wisdom starts to see that to be in a state of wisdom is more relaxing, and the state of delusion is actually more tiring for the mind, and wisdom sees that.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing to practicing in daily
life.
So what makes practicing in daily life difficult?
Well, I
think
because of lack of momentum of the good qualities.
Susa's example, too much effort, and Isaac's example, too little effort, especially in daily life practice and trying to bring attention back again and again and again throughout the course of the day, I find that I feel like I ricochet, between too much effort and too little effort. And
I
think
I'm a balance shabby.
It seems to be finding the middle path. Hmm?
Yeah.
Hmm.
The whole
เดี๋ยวก็ตื่นชูซ่าเลยเดี๋ยวก็ตื่นเนี่ยเลยตัวตะเนมาเปียงๆตะติท้าบ่ตัวท้าบ่เว้ยตัวที่เราท้าบ่นึกขึ้นจ๋าเลยมาไปใหญ่เนี่ยตื่นชูซ่าเลยเออเนี่ยอุตะอย่างรีคอมเมนด์ไปอุตะรีคอมเมนด์โลกไข่นะรีคอมเมนด์โลกนี้เน้นๆซึ้งซ่าอืม
He says so that's why his thing for trying to meditate all day is actually to use the word recognize. Instead of bringing attention, he uses the word recognize.
Mm.
So recognizing what is already conscious, and then thinking a little about that. So there's not a putting in of effort to be more aware. There is a calling to remember yourself. So recognizing of the consciousness that is present, and to think of yourself. Like, what am I feeling? What am I doing? Thinking of yourself. Being interested in myself.
Keeping it simple.
Mindfulness.
Yes, one yogi said to him, because he says keep reminding, remembering yourself. He said it's not mindfulness, it's remindfulness.
That's cute.
Remind people.
About reminding ourselves all the time. Just a reminder.
We
have to keep asking ourselves this question. How do we want to live? Do we just want to have peace? Or do we want to be wise? Why do we practice meditation? If we only practice to get peace, he says, then we will suffer.
Is that to say if we practice to get wise, then we won't suffer?
He says we're already suffering all the time. He says only wisdom will bring us some relief from that.
wisdom, only way, wisdom is it.
Wisdom
peace,
is the only way.
Temporary peace won't bring us any relief.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jala bhi, temporary peace hai, pien la bhi tu.
He says, we've been having this temporary peace for a long time. He says, he's getting bored of it.
Chao la, shin la, lo bu ge.
He said, he did it 6-8 months at a time. He said, and it was useless when he went back home. It's really when he, when the wisdom started rising, like he started realizing and understanding things, that he really began to feel peace in life,
mm-hmm.
more about life.
Is that to say just accepting things the way that they are? But in order to accept them the way that they are, you have to actually see them the way that they are?
You have to actually understand, yeah.
Right,
whatever, yeah. Mm-hmm. Shirao, she died. She made a vote. I mean, any, I love you, me and Boy and Chang vote to a
code
again.
Yes, she died. Within go against it, the car. Yanny Pilla, and Yan Balu Pilla, you can see. Think any, Yanny, 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 that the dish in it. Sound in it, the bobble, the bobble. And Yanny, the dish in it, but I look in it. So do not let her see you.
He says he's checked himself sometimes.
Dilu Dwala.
He's checked himself sometimes when he understands something new, and he checks, why is he understanding this? What were the conditions that led to this mind arising? And then he would see that prior to that, the mind had already been relatively stable, and the mind was already watching and prepared. And that relative stability that he had in his mind was because the mind was already not reacting to things. Things could be happening, but the mind was feeling not aversion or attachment to what's happening, just watching.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes these are more inside arising. And then he would also see why the mind could be in that state was because prior to that, already his mind had understood something from lots of practice that had led to an understanding that made the mind willing to be present in that way all the time.
Mm-hmm.
As much as
yes,
yes.
Yeah,
right.
That's right.
It is really something we have to do long term.
Vipassana
is very important, more
important. The longer
we practice, the more we understand.
Lucky I'm not too old then.
He says it's okay to be older. He says we can start right now.
Yeah. Moment to moment, now let's see that.
Because moment to moment, he says that's all you have is the moment.
Can we realize my name, Allah? Daydreaming my name.
He says, do we want to live in real life or in our daydreams? Because only the present is real.
Moment to moment, present, the dishine, real life.
He says, moment to moment, it's only if we are in touch with the present moment that we are really living life. We are in touch with real life.
Yeah, we
yes, you wanted to?
Yeah, my question, having just finished retreat yesterday for a short period of time, I was talking with one of my friends about like what's important as you transfer into, I guess, the real world or working environment, which is tomorrow.
Yes.
What do you recommend to like
okay.
to help with that process?
La bo, elu la ma bo, elu me bo.
Do ma niya yetu sa kampi de, na pia alu pia salu.
Yes.
Apolo lo set bomb le.
Apolo lo set fa. I can think in a
he says, do you have a real intention, desire to keep the practice going?
I believe so.
He says, so the mind hasn't made a real decision. You know? He believes so. Yeah, it's not like
again,
I'm going Yes, but it's good to have thought about these things. Good that you're thinking about these things because that will help the mind.
He
says he remembers once when he was on retreat, his mind thinking as he was, you know, going on thinking, I want to do, you know, the mind needs to do this always. Mm. Feeling that way strongly. So he says, just keep trying to know yourself and asking yourself, how much do you actually already know about your own mind and body? How much more, you know, like, how much do I actually know? How much more? So in the beginning it's just learning to be in touch with yourself, wanting to know yourself. And that's just the first step. He says, and you know, as we go into our daily life and our activity and our work and so on, he says, checking like, how much are we actually in touch with ourselves? How much are we reminding ourselves or remembering ourselves during the day? And is that increasing day to day? But once you feel that this first step of wanting to be in touch with yourself is actually happening, there's an increasing sense of remembering yourself and noticing, knowing yourself during the day, day after day. He says, then you'll find that, you know, the mind becomes open to the next step, which is to investigate more into the things that you're noticing. Like, why is this happening and so on? He says, but expect this. The moment you get back to work, the mind will
become
chaotic.
You just
need to accept that, okay, the mind is in chaos, it's very busy, or whatever. But just kind of plug away at doing what you intended to do, which is to try and remember yourself
as much as possible.
Yeah. And the reason the mind will become chaotic like that is simply because the environment is different. When the environment is different, the mind is different. And to be in touch with yourself, he says, one of the things that is easiest to notice is your state of mind, your feelings. He says, now you feel clear and so on because of the short retreat you've had. Just keep like checking into that, noticing that all the time, and see how long that stays that way.
Mm-hmm.
When it changes and starts to become chaotic. But just a noticing. He says, when we find that we have, like we think we understand some Dharma, and we find that we're actually not able to put it into practice in our lives, he then says that that's not real understanding. We have some intellectual understanding, but it hasn't become like deeply like embedded in the, it's not instinctual to the mind. He says going for a retreat should only be seen as like in camp training. You're learning the skills. So it's only a place to learn skills that you want to apply when you go out of retreat. Because there's a competition going on outside, he says. There's a real competition.
excited去了叫你的
He says, are you afraid of the competition? Or are you excited to go in and compete? And if you find that you're skillful, he says, then you'll be you'll find yourself excited to go and take part. But if we're not skillful, then we feel afraid to go in and take part.
Swiss company.
He remembers there was this girl who came and practiced at the center. I mean, she just wandered in from somewhere. I mean, she had no plan to like come for a retreat or something, but she was interested in finding out something, and somebody had told her, oh, go to this place, and so she came with an open mind. When he talked to her about meditation and what it is, and his view is really that meditation is about being aware of yourself all the time and learning about yourself and growing your wisdom and all that. Then after 4 days, she said to me, but the way you tell me, you know, all these things about meditation, she says, then I don't need to be here. She says, I should be out there, you know. You know, she was on a world tour or something going around the world. She said, I should be out there. She said, I can do this while I'm cycling. She said, I can do this while I'm talking to people. He was like, well, if you think you can, then go and do it, he said, because that's what I really want from people. Yeah, but she was so full of confidence that she could do it.
Did she ever come back and tell you how she did?
I don't know. Information on me, yeah. Information allowed.
At that time, we had no. But he says there are people he knows who, you know, their first retreat.
Two are idiots.
Their initial retreat was just 7 days. There was a man, yeah. He was an atheist, and he didn't even bow to monks. He looked down on monks. He thought, you know, but he came for a 7 day retreat, and he's practicing until today. And he's like so. He practices all the time at home. He keeps a Dharma tape going in his house. He sells jewelry all day. He plays the tapes in his car every time he's driving, and just keeps him going all the time. It's been about 6 years now.
Really changed. Atheists
are
using the project.
He says that's why he likes atheists. He's a Burmese man, right?
Chinese.
He's a Chinese.
He has a Maoist kind of thought.
Yeah, he has a Maoist kind of thought. He likes that sort of idea.
But he's really intelligent.
Intelligent,
he says, I mean, you know, it's
because people think, you know, that they become atheists because they get disillusioned. People who don't think, they just believe. He's seen a lot of atheists now, and they change quite a lot. And they often think that meditation is fun. It's not a duty.
Not duty. Duty to take
people. If it's a duty, you don't gotta do it. It's so boring.
Interesting.
He finds it interesting.
Okay. That's a little bit of
Yeah.
No, that is really rich. Be one of the ten kids. ကိစ္စတွေပြောတော့အခုအဲ့တော့အဲ့အထောက်တာမဟုတ်ဟာမောဟကြောင့်မောဟအာမောဟကြောင့်အဲ့ဒါဒီကောင်ဆင်းစားရင်တော့ထွက်လာတာပဲဒီတမာတိကဟုတ်တယ်အဲ့ငါစဉ်းစားမှုတွေငါပြောမှုတွေအဲ့တမာတိဖြစ်တိုင်းတမာတိဖြစ်လို့ဉာဏ်ဖြစ်တယ်ဆိုတော့လူတိုင်းပြောတယ်အဲ့ဒါနဲ့လူတွေလုပ်တမာထအောင်အများကြီးလုပ်တယ်အဲ့ဒါစဉ်းစားမှုတွေအဲ့ပြောဖို့ဘယ်လိုလုပ်မေးပါဘူးအခုတခြားဘာဖြစ်ဖြစ်ချင်းမြ แต่เจ้าธรรมชาติแบบบอกว่ามันลุ่นนะพ่อเจ้าบอกว่าตระหนักชีวิต
บอกว่าตระหนักชีวิต
ผิดผิดบอกว่าตัวผิดอ่ะ
ผิดผิด
ชีวิต
ผิด
อ่ะ
ชีวิต
บอกว่าตระหนักชีวิต
ด้วย Can I ask a question? I don't want to interrupt. Tell me when you interrupt. When you're talking about you know shamatha and that shamatha to stay with, I'm not that attached to shamatha.
Yes.
When you talk about shamatha and that there's greed in the mind.
Yes.
But it doesn't have to be greed, does it? I mean, with wise effort, you could do shamatha.
Use a craving. What? Nivaran have a name.
The five.
Kamasana name.
So kamachanda, that kind of greed is subdued.
Kamisana, central pressure.
That kind of greed is.
But I mean, even the mind that comes to the object. That's what you're talking about.
Pali lo byo, bhavatana
chi. A very subtle greed.
But you think that's greed?
Bhavatana.
You know
bhavatana,
the 10 factors that
there.
Really?
Yes.
Because bhavatana chi lo. That's why shamatha practice doesn't release us from life. Because there's a desire for life. Life is becoming, right?
Yeah.
Bhava tanha
uh-huh.
is the desire for becoming.
Kamisana.
Reaffirming the life of.
So just say coming back to anapana, and you're not trying to get a state, but the mind is just coming back, very balanced,
really?
Very calm.
Anapana.
Even in that, you say there's bhava tanha.
It is in that. Oh, lama shio. It is in that. The nakang ayong si piang piang lara ay naman bawat ang siya.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's interesting.
If it's just sometimes,
there
can still be.
No, but not can still be.
Yes.
Always.
Bawat ang
yes.
You're saying always.
Yes.
Right?
Always.
The factor.
Kamisana with her. Kamisana with her. Bawat ang siya.
The greed.
Kamisana.
Tama di
tana di loba ka apa yung jasi?
Not loba. No.
But this loba bawat ang doesn't make you go to the four woeful states. That's all.
Kamisana loba.
Kamachanda sends you to the woeful state.
Yes. But so
the gross.
This is the same question, just to be clear. You're saying that in shamatha, there is always going to be some bhavatana.
Yes. And permanent teaching.
Because there's a desire for permanence.
Because there's a desire for
permanence. That's why impermanent mabora.
That's why understanding of impermanence doesn't come. He mentions this in the instruction. Keep it there.
ทำมาสังเตลุยามะตุสังสังเพียงเอาลงมาเลยสังตะตั้วมาตัว
You want to develop some jhanas. So you move into
อายุงอ่ะสึกกับอายุงก็มาติรู้เอกกตะยောက်ตัวเปิ้ลติ้งๆไปอ่ะ
Most of the time yeah but I just have this sense that when the mind is really pretty concentrated and
yes.
at that time there's not so much effort to come back you know the mind stay more steady It's shamatha, but at that time,
yeah, you're going to be
still tanha.
Yeah, but what
you can still
the bhava tanha is very subtle.
when
interesting.
Let's say you've developed samatha to the point of just ready to access jhana.
Right.
For example.
Yeah.
It's not the jhana, it's the desire to stay on the object that is the bhava.
I understand, but there can't be any of the nivaranas.
Kamachanda
is a very gross kind of lobha.
Yes. So the kind of desire you're talking about is not hindering desire.
Yes.
It's not hindering desire.
Not hindering.
Yes.
Yes.
So even in jhana.
Yes.
Bhavatana.
Yes.
Very
interesting.
Very
interesting. It's not hindering
desire.
So, Abhidhamma.
Yes. If you look in the Abhidhamma, it's there. It's mentioned.
But when you use the English word desire,
yes,
it means everything.
We treat it as hindering desire. So we have to be.
As
he asks and you know discusses, these things become more clear in his mind.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, Loga Pamadi, Kirida, or Tamata, Kirida, Nablu Milato, Tamata, Tamadia, Kiridapa. I have two, Mita Tamadi will be on. Tamata Madi will be on. I am Mila.
Padumila.
Uzi, I don't know, Uzi, and what a nice.
He asked Bhante Chikinda because Bhante Chikinda is the Abhidhamma expert, right?
Uh-huh.
He knows everything. So he asked him, he says, when the mind is in jhana, he says, there are no defilements. He says, can we call that like Michha Samadhi or Sama Samadhi? You know, he says, and then only when he brought up Michha Samadhi, then Bhante Chikinda pointed out to him, he says, in jhana, he says, Bhava Tanha is still present, but you cannot call it Michha Samadhi. He says, it's not called wrong concentration, it's still right concentration, but he says, you won't call it Samma Samadhi, which is in the Noble Eightfold Path, you call it good concentration.
Oh.
But
I
you
don't
call it
good,
right.
Not right.
So Samma Samadhi is like Arhat
Samadhi? Samma is Noble Eightfold Path kind of Samadhi,
yeah.
So it has a...
So Arya already.
No. Noble Eightfold Path just means everything is
He says
that even that samatha kind of samadhi, you can include it in the Noble Eightfold Path as sama samadhi. He says, but he knew there was something wrong with it. There's still some defilement present in the samatha kind of practice.
Uh-huh.
And then Bhante Chikinda told him.
But isn't it subdued at that point? It's like covered up.
What,
it's there. It's kind of like a latent. It's latent defilement.
No.
Bhavatana is anusaya. We hardly see it, right? Bhavatana.
Bhavatana abhyachima pya. Anaganya ma anah.
No, yahana ma.
Yahana ma pya.
Only an arahant can get rid of bhavatana.
Yeah, I understand that.
Amipya da. Amipya pya.
But in moments of vipassana insight, there's no bhavatana.
Yeah.
But in moments of vipassana
insight, there's no bhavatana.
Yeah. He says, when there is understanding, real insight into anicca, for example, there's no desire to become.
Become.
That's tanha.
So if someone has that understanding in vipassana, and then they're doing shamatha practice, there might not be bhavatana then?
With vipassana kind of samadhi, you don't get jhana.
Cannot get the jhana.
Right, but you have vipassana wisdom. Then later do jhanas.
Yes, you can.
Still have bhavatana.
Bhavatana rashi yoma.
Yes. So interesting. No way you'll say jhanas without bhavatana. That's interesting. In English, I think when desire is such a big word, and so we hear it as that, you know, really kamachana. But I think for many yogis, actually that works.
Mm.
It's helpful to think of shamatha with that level of strong desire, because that's how most people are practicing it.
And it fits right into, I want to be a good yogi, so they...
That's
why with samatha kind of samadhi, vipassana insights don't arise. Only with the vipassana kind
ဒီကိစ္စကလည်းယူထားပြီးပြီနော်ဈာန်ရတယ်စိတ်ပဲလက်ဝိပဿနာဆိုစိတ်ကိုပဲလက်ရအောင်နော်စိတ်တန်ဥပဿနာပဲလားဒီလောက်အများနဲ့စိတ်ကြီးဘယ်လိုလုပ်ဧကကရကြ
Yeah he says we have samatha, we practice samatha, we have jhana on one object
mm-hmm.
and then he says we want to switch to vipassana
mm-hmm.
and the moment the people who practice jhana want to switch to vipassana what they do is look at the mind
right
and once they look at the mind what they see is so much mind He says, how to have that kind of one-pointed
See,
you can't too much
stuff. You have to let go of
that
kind of
It's
like chaos.
Person.
People think chaos.
Yeah,
hello, me. Chaos.
Yeah, but actually it's not chaos.
No,
it's just lots of objects.
Yeah.
Not just one.
Like when we're working the way we do retreats often in the past where we start just with anapana for a couple days and then open up. And people are often, it gets chanted, they're very resistant because that's what they say when they open up. They say, oh no, it's chaos, chaos.
I don't know.
When he was about 14, he started practicing meditation. And he started practicing with some friends, and they did this deep, like. Some practice. So, and he got samadhi real quick, and he loved it.
Yeah.
And he would go and tell Seattle about it, and Seattle knew that you know, there's something wrong with that. So, after you know a while, Seattle said to him, "Show me." And why Seattle said show me was because he started curling up. He would get into so much samadhi, and when you breathe so much, you see the mind breathes because there's enough carbon dioxide in the body.
Well, he's hyperventilating.
Right. So when you keep breathing, you don't get, you know, there's too much oxygen.
Very painful, but I like samadhi. Kind of what I'm not.
Like all like this.
He liked that calm so much. And so Seattle said show me. So he sat in front of Seattle and started doing it. He started curling up. And it was about 15 minutes. Oh, but he said he hadn't started curling up yet. But Seattle, after about 15 minutes, told him to stop breathing. Stop doing this kind of thing. And he stopped. And he asked him, what do you feel? And it was everything. He could feel the whole body, all these sensations. And he didn't like it, he said. And he refused to.
I just wanted
to do that.
This is no good.
This is familiar.
At that time it was Vipassana, he didn't want to do it. Yeah, but another time he says later on, he was sitting in the Dharma hall, I don't know if it was the same retreat, but maybe later, and Seattle would come to the, and you know the 27 points, that first, that's why he, that was before the first four lines, because that's his favorite four lines, it's like, don't control, don't resist, don't, and he was sitting there going, and Seattle was repeating
the
like,
whole Dharma hall, I only want.
And he suddenly heard that, and he was the only one doing this, and everything else was quiet. That's when he realized he's trying to create something. And he wasn't talking to him, like, he was just saying it to the whole hall, but he suddenly understood. That's when he stopped there.
Tamari pite, loba ne tamari pite.
He says, with loba, samadhi happens.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting.
I'm a mixer tamari pite.
Even being a thief in the night.
The Kora Matamati.
And
very good awareness.
So there can be Micha Sati.
They call motivation is defilement.
Yeah, Micha Sati.
Yeah.
Motivation.
Walter pointed out to him, he says, don't ever use that term because Micha Sati is Micha only because of the absence of the wholesome factor sati.
Yeah, right.
And so it's actually sanya at work.
Right.
Yeah, it's sanya at work.
Wait, what's sanya? Micha sati is
sanya.
Micha sati
is, because you still remember things,
yeah.
You still know things, but it's only perception that's working.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but not sati.
It's not actually sati.
Beautiful.
It's a beautiful, yes,
yeah.
A sati. So it's like, I think
in the way that in my mind's gone. When you ask yogis, you know, can you be aware and still have defilement?
Mm.
And they go, oh no, you know, with awareness,
no
defilement. Because we've learned, and I think we teach, that sati, real sati, means no defilements in that moment.
Mm.
You know? But then we confuse sati with just awareness.
Yes.
But he's also saying sati, that means no defilement in the mind that's observing. But what you observe could be a defilement.
What you observe could
be a
defilement. Yeah, what you observe.
Yeah.
But in the
sati.
Sati
ya, di sisi yang ini tung di sati. Apa mata sati? Apa mata sati?
Cina sekuyora.
Kuyora,
yes.
Yes.
What the
walking,
talking about sati is a watching.
Bunga bang.
Right. So maybe we need to be more clear using sati and awareness interchangeably. It's not
exactly. Yeah, sati ya. Sati telung ni ya dua awal ni. Sini tadi teku
aja. Yeah. Dalam itu tu apa nata dar nasi tamashiro tadi.
Yeah,
he says that's why moha, delusion and sanya both work to know things in the wrong way.
That's why you need to sleep. You know, you're just too revved up.
Sleeping so much today. I'm just getting worried about sleeping too much.
No, don't worry about
it.
Just balance
it. Do you think that samadhi is there?
He says, what do people think is the kind of samadhi that's there when Maghajnana arises?
What do they think?
Yeah. Like what kind of information do they have about when Maghajnana arises? Every, he says, all kinds of religions, all of them have samatha.
Yeah.
Hindu has lots of samatha.
Hindu has lots
of
samatha. Yeah, I mean, the Buddha learned that kind of practice from other teachers at that time.
Yeah.
But
he still continued with it.
He had to know everything
before he realized, you know, understood what wasn't necessary. But when he set out to try to become the Buddha, he dropped all that jhana and went back to first jhana.
But he still kept teaching jhana all the time.
Yeah, and he still kept practicing.
He still kept talking about it, you know, up and down.
He said he would teach, but the objective would be to reach liberation. Not to stop jhana, but to go to liberation, that was only a supporting factor for those who were skilled.
That's true, because not everybody was taught to do jhana.
Yeah. I mean, there's the story of this person that Sariputta went to see, a Brahmin, and Sariputta taught him blah, 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 until he got to
eighth, and
he became an anagami while he was...
he was dying or something.
Yes, and he was giving his... And he went back,
yeah,
and the Buddha scolded him.
He
says, actually, the kind of practice where, you know, you practice learning about dosa, so that when there's no dosa, there's only metta vikalpa, is actually the practice to become an anagami. Because Ujyotika said this, somebody who really understands dosa becomes an anagami.
Indulging in dosa a little too much, but
no, 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 no,
Dora a jaw a kong di ma.
Yes, we cannot indulge in those things.
The ghetti lo dora o khe kong a phe dora.
He says when we really understand it doesn't happen anymore.
No.
I can remember that. The benefit of my dosa.
Benefit of your dosa.
Understand all
that.
I'm working